Hey guys, welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. My name is Angela Meyer. I'm sitting here with my wonderful co-host, Abby Peters. She's given us finger guns. We can't see it, but you guys can visualize it.
A little shoulder shimmy.
Today we're talking to another incredible maker that we met out in Las Vegas at the National Finals Rodeo. Not at the rodeo, but at the... on the floor of the rodeo while the bulls were bucking. Just kidding. It was at RFWA, which is the Rodeo Fashion Western Arts Convention, which happens over in the older part of Vegas and has just incredible, incredible talent. And our next guest was one of those people with his brand, Cowie, welcoming Thomas Crowfoot. Crow, how the hell are you?
Good, family. How are you doing?
We're so good. Oh my gosh. We have been stoked to bring you on here.
So excited.
For weeks now. You were one of the first people we thought of when we thought of this podcast, and we just love your brand. So tell us, what the heck does Cowie stand for the people that have never heard of it? And, you know, not only what does it stand for, like, acronym speaking, but also...
Like, what the hell is it?
Yeah.
Like,
I get those questions, like, what's Cowie? But first of all, thank you so much for even thinking of me. I've been looking forward to this. I know we have a lot of fun. And but so Cowie, the acronym for Come On With It, it happened about 10 years ago organically. It's how us as friends, we would greet each other. And so whether we were out and about, meeting up for a concert, or meeting up just to go burn down the town, and we'd be like, hey, what's up, man? Come on with it. And, you know, it's just kind of how we would talk. And so we would just, whether we were at a rodeo and one of our looper buddies made a fast time, we would yell across the arena, like, come on with it. And back on the chutes and whatnot, and if someone made a salty ride, we'd be yelling, like, come on with it, and just yelling and hooping and hollering. And it was just kind of like the way we were around each other, whether we were at a bar, and there was, like, a good-looking girl over there, and we would yell across the bar, being, like, those idiots, and being, like, hey, come on with it, there's a girl over here, like, we need to go over there.
That's encouragement.
I can't decide.
All right, hey, are you gonna go talk to her? Yeah, well,
come on with it. I can't decide if this is like the best or the worst thing.
Same.
In terms of a phrase, like, would I love to hear this or what I hate?
Yes, like, oh, damn it.
Exactly. Well, there's so many different come on with it. Like, you could be like, oh, you want to go get some eat? Well, yeah, well, come on with it. Or you see your friends from across the way and you're like, how girls are like, oh my god, come on with, you know, and or someone you can walk in a room and you're just dressed in the nines, you're like, dang, come on with, like, there's so many different come on with. It was just one of how we were talking to each other, and I noticed when we were working out at the gym and I had a buddy that had one more set, and we would say that, or our friends would start saying that on social media before Instagram was real big. It's on Facebook, like, on their post. So, hey, I'm entered up in Guthrie, come on with it. Or I got a 5K run this weekend, come on with it. Or I'm going to the lake, come on with it. It was just kind of like a mindset that we had, I guess. And so probably one of the realest things is we were in a garage, and in all honesty, it was like probably 2-3 in the morning. We were pretty well tuned up. It was one of those things where, like, I love you, man. No, man, I love you, man. Like, one of those things, right?
Like, honestly, no, I've never heard that.
I've never been in that situation.
I know I'm making myself sound real intelligent, but it's the truth.
You're real.
So I was like, you know what? The acronym for Come On With It is Cowie. And the only time you ever hear Cowie is if you're buying horses or buying dogs, and you ask them, like, how Cowie is his dog or how Cowie is his horse. And so it wasn't a real common word, like, you know, like the word rank or something like that in the Western industry and whatnot. So I approached my buddy that, my buddy Fabio, that's his nickname, Matt. But I was like, hey, man, this is kind of, like, taking off where a lot of our buddies are saying this. Wonder if we could, like, turn this into something. And so 2012-13, I applied for our trademark and won our registered trademark. And then a year or two later, he was real busy with things. Excuse me. And he's like, I can't invest everything into it right now. So I ended up buying him out and then turning a one-man band. But that's where kind of Cowie came about.
Wow.
So it sounds like you really had a brand before you even had merch. And all of this was, like, super rooted in the rodeo world and, like, cowboy lifestyle.
Yeah, it just kind of came organically. And it was just how our group of friends would just, I guess, associate with each other.
For those of you that missed last year's NFR, which I'm so sorry for your bad luck, as a spectator or a participant. but I was lucky enough to be connected with Crow. I don't even remember how it happened, but, like, friend of a friend, connection of a connection was just, like, you know, I was looking for a way to get my music out there and play for some different vendors or on some stages and stuff like that. And a couple of stage performances, both at the Cowboy, the Roper Cowboy Marketplace and Stetson Country Christmas. And so there was a few days I was looking to fill. And so going over to RFWA was part of that. And then I lined up with Cowie to actually play in their booth, which was so gracious of them to allow me to come in. And I remember that first phone call with you, Crow, was so special to me because I'd never had a brand owner before that had the brand identity and really the balls to be like, hey, this is what I stand for. And before I let you come in here, I want to make sure that this is what you line up with and that we talk about what Cowie means and what it stands for before you're coming into my space. And I just thought that was so cool as, like, a business owner and as just a human being that we're looking at values even before we strike up any sort of, you know, business relationship. Yeah. And it was just so cool to me that you even did that. So right away, Cowie stood out to me as different from a lot of other brands that I've worked with that maybe have had a product long before they had any sort of brand identity or voice. So can you speak to that a little bit as far as, you know, what are your values and how that came about for you personally that has really expanded into this whole brand? Because it is super fun, but it's also like there's motivation behind it and there's integrity behind it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I called Devin. She owns Dirty Heifer Boutique, the one that we shared a booth with. And I was like, hey, I found this girl on the search part of Instagram. And, like, it just came up and I'm like, oh, she had a guitar in her hand. And I was talking with her. I was like, it would be nice if we had a female musician. And so you actually showed up on that search page. I was just scrolling through. And so I was like, okay, let me check this out. And then I sent it to Devin and she's like, yeah, get a hold of her. I'm like, all right, let's, and I'm like a hands-on person. I'd rather, when I'm meeting new people, yeah, email or text is fine, but I feel like I get a good sense of your character and your vibe and everything talking to you on the phone. So I asked you if it's okay if I could call you and kind of go over what we were thinking and if it's something that lined up with something you'd be down with. But yeah, Cowie, it was it's not just words on a shirt or an acronym. I guess when I'm choosing my brand ambassadors or the people I sponsors, I'm looking for people that represent themselves really well, not just at their craft in the arena or wherever, whatever they're doing. Is, you know, most importantly, like I said before, is that you're representing yourself first, then us. And a lot of people be like, oh, well, I want it the other way when we're around. Well, we're not always around that person. So I like to, you know, make sure that person has credibility through their friends or people they associate with. And it's, I try to make the culture a family. So when we do bring on someone, the other brand ambassadors comment like, hey, welcome to the Cali fam or whatnot. Like, and not everyone's going to be like, you know, you're ride or die, but I want that culture where the brand, the people within a brand are welcoming. And so I try to like kind of instill that into everyone that I bring on.
And that's really powerful because you don't necessarily see that emphasis truly on integrity inside of a brand, let alone just like that focus on creating a family dynamic. Because I think a lot of times, like when we seek out products that we want to buy, you know, we don't necessarily realize that we're like buying into a whole culture or, you know, an entire group. And so especially like in a small business, it's so cool to see somebody put that much focus on it. You mentioned that you're working with a number of brand ambassadors. How do you go about selecting those people, and kind of like, what do you look for? How do you want Cali best represented?
It was, a lot of it was some of them people that I knew before, but like with Jordan and Taylor, I didn't know who she was. I did like a lot of, I guess creeping. Or you can call it research, but you know, it's seeing what they post, see what kind of content they put out, and then giving them a call. And so before, I would just start choosing. And now that we kind of gotten the ball rolling, is we'll be getting DMs asking to be a part of it. But before, I was like hand picking. And going, all right, this person has this, and they have, like, a passion of their own. Like, they're not just, hey, I'm posting to post, but I'm helping these people out, or I'm doing what I love. And so it's kind of like literally living a come on with it mentality life. And so I guess people can call it a lifestyle, but I really believe it's, like, a mindset, a mentality brand. And so picking those people to be part of the crew, it's having people that are driven and good-hearted and are doing something with their lives, and it's something that people like kind of not attract to, but what's the word?
Really, you like align with it or you don't. Like, yeah, it's gonna repel exactly some people, but it's gonna attract the people that you're wanting to attract.
Absolutely.
Like, so tell us, walk us through a little bit of the legal process behind this. I think there's 1.5 million ideas out there, and a lot of people have no idea where to start on that. Obviously, you can Google it, but it seemed like in talking to you that was really important for you to get the legal stuff down before you ever even whispered that you were gonna have a brand. So what's your advice to people that might be looking to, you know, not only get into a brand, but any sort of, you know, thing that they want to protect legally?
Yeah. It's never about who has the idea first, because everyone's got ideas. It's who has legally the legalities and everything, done first. Because I'm so glad I did that I didn't just go out and telling everyone, hey, we're going to make a brand and everything, is that we just went on, you can go on the government website and you can, register your trademarks there, or you can, obviously be like a lawyer, a family lawyer that can help you with trademarks. So I tried to trademark Cali brand, but the word brand was too broad. So then it took months and months to get back to me, just to tell me that, hey, well, you can trademark Cali in the phrase come on with it, but we can't trademark the word brand.
Interesting.
So then I had to go back and redo that again, and then more months. So it was like over a year and a half, 2 years.
Wow. And that's the stuff people never think of and never see.
It's that hustle phase that's not super attractive, so we don't want to post about it or talk about it. We just want that. We want the cute hat at the end.
Right.
Exactly. Right. It was like 7 months, my first initial register, and then another, I think, 7 or so after that. And I mean, if you do get a lawyer, it might be able to push it through a little quicker. But then obviously, you know, if you're looking at more fees. But I'm really glad I did, because there was, my friend saw another Instagram page and they were selling their own version of Cowie brand stuff.
Really? Interesting. Okay, so you have had some kind of copyright infringement.
I messaged him. I was like, hey, sorry to be the bearer of bad news. There's already a company out here with this entity. I'm going to have to ask you to, you know, stop all sales and whatnot. And it kind of gave me some friction. But I knew that I had skin in the game. So I actually made up a fake page, DM'd them, pretend I was interested in their product, found out where their address was, had my lawyer send a cease and desist letter, and that was all she wrote. Then I got a very nice message back a week or two later saying, hey, sorry about it, you know, we're gonna, you know, cease all this and that. I'm like, damn right you are, but I was like, yeah, okay, I appreciate it. And so a lot of people don't know that, but I'm really glad I did all that legal stuff first, because all that would have been for nothing. I couldn't have done anything to them legally, except for just ask them to stop.
Wow.
Right. That's crazy. So, wow. I mean, to figure, even though you spent all that time, you've already seen that really pay off.
Yeah. If you don't do that, people don't care. It's like with songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, you've probably seen it as, an idea or whatever, it's almost where you're almost afraid to sing a new song just for like the fact of someone hearing it and going, oh, I'm gonna write something like that and maybe have a different title or a different name and call, you know, and it's just like, dude, you just bit off my song.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like you said, that, you know, there's not a lot of truly original ideas out there, if any. And so it really is who gets there first and claims it as their own, mm-hmm. and makes it their own and does it the best. And so you see that a lot in songwriting too, that you might all have a lot of the same influences and have heard the same phrases. And like, how many times can we talk about a fucking tailgate in a song? But like, if you do it better than everybody else, like, it becomes your thing. And I certainly think that Cowie has embodied so much, like, they talk about in songwriting, how do you know when a song is finished? When it stands up and walks out of the room. And I feel like Cowie Brand has stood up and walked out of the room.
Walked out of the room.
Yeah, and been in, like, the industry as its own thing. Like, there's Crow, and then there's Cowie, and Crow is also, like, part of Cowie, but Cowie, like, grew up. Like, Crow raised it, and it grew up, and it's like,
fly away.
Yeah.
Right? What you just said was perfect, because the reason why it's taken, like, this many years, because I was literally just in the way. I was in the way of myself. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of half-assing it. It happened organically. It was a good idea. But I just didn't, you know, dive in completely until, you know, last 2 years or so. And it was to the point now where it's growing whether I'm ready for it or not. So we're in the middle of a revamp, the website, and adding all these new products and whatnot. And like what you said is when it's ready, when it's done, it'll just walk out of the room. That's kind of what it's doing now. And the reason why I knew a long time ago that this was going to have the potential of longevity is I had a buddy who was in a bull riding accident, and he was in a coma for a couple of weeks, and he came out of it, and he had to relearn how to talk, relearn all his motor skills. And his name's Tom Bartek. He's a full-time firefighter, like a paid firefighter, and he sent me this text. He's like, I wore a Cowie shirt in my PT every day, and every time I looked in that mirror, it gave me inspiration to do one more rep, one more walk around the hospital, you know, one more, you know, minute standing. It just gave me that inspiration. So when people can relate to something like that in a deeper level like that, that's when I knew that Cowie was not just like a company with a name on it, and hopefully people think it's cool, where they can really relate to it in a deeper level like that.
Wow. I have goosebumps everywhere.
I looked over at Abby. She's wearing shorts and her legs are just like chicken skin.
Like, honestly, if we weren't using both of our phones right now to be doing this, I'd probably be like pulling up your website and ordering all the things I could. Just like, take all my money.
Take all my money. But that's what it was like. That's what was cool about it is that when I got goosebumps, and I texted him, like, dude, quit cutting the onions. Can you just literally make me cry doing all this stuff? And I'm like, oh, football, man stuff.
Just really got really bad allergies all of a sudden. I just, like, have a branch in my eye. Or...
It's allergies. Like, it's like, dude, it's in the wintertime. not really. It was the spring, but. That's when I knew, like, I knew long ago that there was a good potential of it being different, but when I get a text like that, it's like, yes, that's something where someone can relate to it on a deeper level, and it really, literally changes their lives, so it was cool to hear that from them.
So then what happened, what switched in you when you had that initial just, like, burst of inspiration or just kind of that, like, overwhelming feeling that this could be something big, mm-hmm. that you took that and ran with it? Because I feel like that's the biggest obstacle for so many people, mm-hmm. and the reason why so many people, like, walk around feeling unfulfilled or just generally unhappy, because mm-hmm. they have this thing inside of them that they feel really inspired by or really love or really want to do, but they just, like, don't know how to take that next step.
It's like, I guess what I, for me, it was getting out of my way, getting out of the way myself, and going, well, if I don't make a decision now, then in a year, well, I'm gonna be at the same spot. Mm-hmm. So might as well just go do it. And if I fail, I fail. But I'm too stubborn to even think about that. And it's
but
just like,
Cowie,
you know, like, exactly. As corny as sounds, I would just wake up and I'm like, "What are you doing? Like, you need to. How can you have this company called Cowie and come on with it if you're not coming on with it?"
Like, damn.
It's like wiping before you poop. It don't make sense. you know,
that's some real advice.
Get out of yourself and not be afraid of failure, because you have to be almost start get, or I guess you have to fall in love with failure. That means that you're doing stuff. That means you're going out and trying things, different things. Whether you succeed a little bit or you fail a lot, but if you just keep pushing forward, that means if you do fail a lot, that means you're at least doing something. And sooner or later, you're going to get it right. And so having friends, and I was lucky enough, blessed enough to have a really good support with my family, and having homies that were like, I love that brand. Even strangers, like, I can care less if you butcher the name. If you call it Cowie, Cowie, or whatever, the biggest Kobe. Marketing hump is, I don't know, you know, COVID, Cowie. The biggest marketing hump is getting people to talk about it. So I can care less if you butcher it, but if you're talking about it, then it gives me a reason to be like, hey, yeah, this is what it means. This is what it stands for. Go check out the 1 minute video, yada, yada, yada. It's just one of those things. And so for people that are kicking around an idea where they want to be in culinary or they want you to, you know, break out and do something their own, it's just like, you're not promised tomorrow and you're not promised, you know, a year from now, but if you don't do anything, you're going to be still the same spot. So why not go try it?
I love that. And amazing. Two things with that. First, yeah, like you said, we're not promised tomorrow. And also, nobody promised you that this would be handed to you. So as mm-hmm. people are having those aha moments and, like, whispers of, I wonder, like, do it.
Get out there and try it.
Nobody said that you... This is, like, your birthright, is to have this handed to you. Like, you will struggle, you will grind. And the second part of that, like, you're talking about your 1 minute video. People should go out and watch that. And shout out to Jeff freaking Lucas for being the voice of that video. We love him. He is a rodeo announcer with Rogue Rodeo as well, which my boyfriend Dean works for. We love them. And Jeff is a good friend of yours as well, like, for a long time.
Yeah, he's like the, excluding my family, he's like the day one of all day ones. I met him through, we were both, I guess, brand ambassadors or whatever for a company, and I met him through them. And then when I was like, hey, I'm starting this company. Would you consider like being a rep for it or whatever? And he's like, yeah, like send me some info. And so he's literally like day one of all day ones. He's such a cool cat. And Brooke, she's so awesome. And yeah, I was like, all right. And bless his heart, I'm the most picky perfectionist when it comes to stuff like that. I had him do that voiceover probably like 12 times. Like I'd send him like the script and he would kind of edit it or whatever. And then he would send me a voiceover back and I'd be like, change the pace up a little bit, maybe a little slower, or change, have your voice be this, or maybe it was, I still have not paid him enough for him doing that voiceover because I had him do it like over 10 times.
Well, you heard it, Jeff. You've got checks coming.
They come and just keep them on tab.
Yeah, start me a tab.
Just like a stack of IOU post-it notes.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
it's exactly. Funny that we talk about day ones because Abby was my day one.
God, no.
Yes.
With awesome. We learned guitar on the same day. We did. And we used to.
Some
plaster.
Of us excelled at it. Some of us did not, and I'll let you decide who.
We would plaster like blown up air mattresses against the doors to like insulate.
Soundproof.
Yeah.
Yes.
Guaranteed it was not soundproofed. Like,
absolutely.
Sorry, Bern and Maria. And sit on the front porch and just write these like probably terrible
really
angsty.
Songs.
Yeah.
Be really embarrassing to see
that
now.
Be very embarrassed to see that.
But it's
now.
So fun. It's so important to have those relationships, though.
Yeah, like you see the seed. Mm-hmm. Like it's not there yet, but those people like know that you're capable of it, and that they like foster that environment for you to be able to grow.
Definitely, and that helps so much. Is it just have one ride or die.
Mm.
And I love what you said. I keep thinking about this, just falling in love with the failure.
Yeah.
And how if you're surrounding yourself with the right people, like a quote-unquote failure will never be a true failure because mm-hmm. you'll always be learning and you'll always have that support group there to catch you if you fall.
Yes, that's so true. It is. And I always thought like, oh man, I missed out on this person. But, you know, if you just keep grinding, it's gonna fall into place, and it's starting to do that now. So,
well, I'm sure for you too, as we've had people see the things that you are succeeding at and doing, and they're like, holy shit, like how is, like, you're just, you get everything done, you're excelling, whatever, and you're like, oh my god, if you even knew like half the no's that I heard and half of the failures that I've witnessed and all the money I've lost and the times I've been in tough spots, like that's when those ride or dies like come in handy of holding you up while you're like trying to make it to that next little milestone or even small paycheck.
Exactly. There's, oh my gosh, I'm not even gonna go into it, but especially, you know, because Cowie officially has been launched since June 2nd of 2018, but it's been 10 years coming, so that's literally 10 years of not being very successful. So I definitely have a, I guess, know how it is to fail a lot.
Totally. And that's so important to your growth and just like making sure that you love it. Because if it was easy, it would be so easy to just jump ship and, oh, well, I'll try something different. I'll do this and do that. And the grinding really makes it all come together. I think it's really cool, too, that you're not only in the rodeo or the Western industry, but you're across the board anytime. And I think that kind of goes back to your brand voice in that, you know, approach of Cowie can overlap into so many different industries or lifestyles or just types of people. How were you inspired to get into all those different things? Are those passions of yours, or is that just kind of the brand speaking for itself?
That's what's so nice without being biased about the brand. And I even thought, even come and think of the name, I didn't want to call it Cowie Clothing Company or Cowie Apparel, even though that's what we're doing right now. But I wanted to be able to not limit ourselves that later in the future, if we wanted to go into making, you know, head stalls or making rugs, I don't know, you know, we're not just limited just to clothes. But what's nice about the mentality of Cali is you don't have to be Western, you don't have to be interstate, you don't have to be a certain demographic. Anyone that can relate to a come on with it attitude and mindset, they can wear Cali. And so it kind of really, I mean, I'm into hunting, but it kind of just found people itself. Where my military buddies, they like, hey, I like that. Like, that's something that us as being military can latch onto. Or someone that competes in anything, or your makers and people that are know the grind and whatnot. So it really, how it branched out to like motocross, or like the side by side world, where we're kind of like inching our way a little bit in there just through association and different demographics. That's kind of where it's nice that it's not limited to a certain demographic. And the reason, obviously, the reason for me doing a lot of stuff with the Western industry is because of Houston being a Houston rodeo, and that's where most of my contacts are. And so even the rodeo world, it is like a small piece of the pie compared to the world and the other demographics. The Western industry, the rodeo people are some of the most loyal people that you can have. If they like your vibe or like your brand or like your music, you have a supporter, a fan for life. And so it's one of those things that I would never want to shy away from, but it's also nice to be able to, if Cali wanted to have a booth at a racetrack or something, or some different expo or whatever too.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you're talking about this, is rodeo something you've always been around? Did you grow up in the Western world, or is this something you came into?
So I grew up on a small farm family. So I, being country, but not necessarily being a cowboy or being Western.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never claim to be, a cowboy, a certain kind of cowboy. Like my buddies out in Western Nebraska, they're ranch cowboys. They live the cowboy lifestyle, not just, and they don't even rodeo. They're just cowboys.
Ranching.
They cowboy every day, And so, but growing up on a farm, and we would show cattle, and so doing that stuff at the fairs, and then watching the rodeo at 5 years old, I watched it. I was like, oh my God, that's something I want to do. But my parents didn't rodeo. Like none of our family rodeoed, and so I didn't get on my first bull until I was like 24. I was like the new old guy. people have been mutton busting and steer riding and junior rodeo and little britches rodeo, throughout their younger years. And
high school rodeo, college rodeo.
Just like a big rodeo guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so I always knew I wanted to do it, but being, what do you say? It's like all cowboys are country boys. All cowboys can be country, but not all country boys can cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met a buddy who rodeoed. He's like, he was a Mason, and I labored for him, Josh. And he knew I wanted to get on a bull real bad. So he just told me, hey, I entered you. And I'm like,
oh, shit.
Like in the bull ride and a rodeo. He's like, yeah, in the bull riding over here in Syracuse, Nebraska. And I was like, I don't have any things. I haven't, gone through any schools. And so he got me on his horse, launched the horse around, rode him bareback just to kind of get his feels of his leads and
how he was going on.
And like kind of, the best way to practice besides a barrel is getting on jumping horses. It's the same mechanics. But so yeah, he just entered me, and I was like, like a hop, skip, and a quiver, and it felt like it was 40 seconds to 2 minutes or whatever, and I think it was all of like three, and two of those seconds I was on the side of him, and
I
couldn't hear anything, and
not on the ground.
I got on the ground, and they're like, get to the fence. So I got to the fence, and I was like,
where's the fence?
I love this shit, let's go. And so I got to be around some good traveling partners, and went down to Texas and went to a Mike Lee school. Frank Newsom was the bullfighter instructor, and then I just, for like 7-8 years or so, that's what we did. We would just rodeo and go to practice pens, and I probably, my rodeo career in a nutshell is, could be described as shoulda, coulda, woulda been better. Like, I showed signs of being like pretty punchy and sticky, but I just didn't put in the effort like I should have, what most people did, but I still had fun, and I mean I would never trade the rodeo trail for something else, but that's how I kind of became into that scene.
I think it's really important too that there are first generation cowboys out there,
yeah,
and that we talk about that, because this industry is not one that's necessarily thriving from a population standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so it's inspiring to hear somebody talk about at 24 years old, I'm getting on a bull for the first time. And
like my metaphorical ride or dies, I've got my literal ride or die moment.
I might die.
I might die.
But you don't have to necessarily live and breathe it for 20 years before you can be a part of it in a legitimate way. Like, just wake up one day and decide you want to do it. And that's just as authentic as somebody that happened to be born to people that already have been rodeoing or ranching for generations at a time. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, everyone has their own backgrounds and stories, and mine just happened not to be on a ranch. But I, you know, with our friend, our traveling buddies, we live, eat, breathe rodeoing, and the day we got serious, when I called my, the, you know, the rodeo rambler, it was a 2000 Dodge Grand Caravan, and we drove that in the ground, and then I got a Town and Country Chrysler, pretty much the same thing. And if only, you know, if only those sliding doors can even talk about the memories that we had.
Did they still work?
No, they were never, I mean, yeah, the sliding doors worked, but they weren't.
Not the automatic, though.
We were in high class. They were automatic.
Right. No, I get it.
We were balling on the budget.
It's too relatable.
And we were balling on the budget, so.
Word. But that's so cool, because, again, just through all these stories, you hear exactly how Cowie, as a brand, as a saying, as anything, truly is a balance of, like you said, a lifestyle and a mindset.
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be both, but it definitely has to be like who and how you are. So if we're looking at Cowie, starting as something you and your friends just said to each other 10 years ago, like hanging off the gates, standing on the chutes, then fast forward to the present moment where it's really coming into its own, and you've got these hats and shirts that people are wearing all over the place, and you're coming up left and right in conversations. Where do you see it 10 years from now?
This might sound crazy, but it's not crazy to me, but it's to be a worldwide brand.
And yes.
Not necessarily nationwide, but like, and we have some supporters over in Australia. Shout out to Katie and all them that decided to take a chance and be like, hey, do you ship to Australia? Like, dang right, we ship to Australia.
Hell yeah.
We'll get, you know.
Come on with it. We ship to Australia.
Come on with it, UPS.
And gosh, dang, it's so expensive for shipping. But she's like, send it. I'm like, all right, we'll send. She bought two, and I threw in an OG one, an OG lid, and sent it to her. But been 10 years, though, I've wanted to be a brand where people that are in different part of the world, like they know that brand or they've heard it, and where we might, if we get to the NFR where we have like our own big, you know, 40 by whatever booth or whatever, not just like a 10 by 10 or something, but something where it's like a household brand and not just in people that are 18 to 35, but people that are even older than that.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
I don't think that's 10 years.
10 years, especially with how social media is, you can blow up with one post or whatever, and all of a sudden you got a million people, it goes viral. So you never know.
You would be shocked at the amount of views that this insane person beside me gets on my TikTok. It's disgusting.
Oh, I saw your TikTok the other day, and I forgot which one it was, but had like thousands.
They're all stupid as hell. I mean,
what are you saying about me right now?
With the internet, anything is possible.
I mean,
whether you're genuinely talented and have a really cool thing going, or you're
Thank
just
you. No.
Like Abby, right? Like Abby.
Get out.
I got you, homie.
Well, get out.
All right, Krill, so if people want to find you, if people want a Cowie lid of their own, if they want to see what you're up to on Instagram or the greater interwebs, where can they find you?
TikTok.
They can go on TikTok. We don't have very many videos, but they go to cowiebrand.com. The website does work. We're just in the middle of revamping it and getting into it where it looks a hell of a lot better. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I don't really do much on Twitter, but I should. But all the handles are cowiebrand, C-O-W-I brand.
Beautiful. So everybody, if you haven't checked out Cowie Brand already, 10 out of 10 would recommend checking them out right now as soon as you close out of this podcast.
And some very unique stuff too. It's not just unique in like the branding, but in the actual like design, colors, everything. I love my hat. I wear it all the time.
I always take pictures of her and she's wearing. I'm like, wait, sit right there. We're going to send a picture of this to Crow.
From Puerto Rico.
Very
to
annoying.
Vegas.
But... Yes, that was so cool. Yeah. Good lighting. Well, and people ask, well, are you going to do other designs? And honestly, I've had a lot of other designs thought up of, but it's a brand where I'm literally still pushing the acronym with the phrase. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to like, mix it up until like, you know, down the road where it's really, really big and people can see Cowie and they already know, hey, that means come on with it. But so right now it's literally, it might be boring to most people, but when you're trying to push a mentality, then you just got to keep that same logo or design and just keep pushing that so people can kind of associate the two together.
Yeah, it truly is so unique and so motivational, and I felt the family vibe right away.
Absolutely.
So we are both proud members of the Cowie fam. Just saying.
Yeah.
We love ya.
Y'all fam, for sure.
Well, thank you again, Crow, for being on the Breaking Western podcast this week. We were just so looking forward to this, and it exceeded all of our expectations.
Did not
so
disappoint.
Thank you so much for the inspiration and the insight, and I'm sure we'll be hanging out pretty soon.
Yes, definitely. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Crow.
Hopefully you'll have me on again, like, down the road. Not too soon, because people probably get tired of it. But...
Oh, hell yeah, we will.
10 years from now when we're broadcasting in multiple languages.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we could already,
yes.
Some of us could already do that. You.
Yeah, we're not as, I'm not as talented, as skillful as Abby is.
Yeah, no. She could have to translate a lot. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Breaking Western podcast. We release weekly episodes with, right now, season one, makers within the Western industry. So make sure to leave us a positive review if you loved this episode, and we'll see you all next week.